What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Go Along Show. GoAlongTV.com, inside your email inbox, the Substack app, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you listen. We greatly appreciate it. The podcast, as always, fueled by our good friends at Fatty Beer Company, downtown Orchard Park, Hamburg, Kenmore, Tonawanda, anywhere, everywhere you could possibly want beer in Western New York. Nick, Chris, and the gang have you covered. And you know what? That just got me thinking, Jim. We might need to do a pre-draft extravaganza of sorts live at one of these fatty locations. Talk some draft, some Bills, some NFL, whatever anybody wants to chat about. So be on alert for that. In the meantime, Jim, how are you, brother? What's new?
Tyler, what's happening? You got me excited about the draft extravaganza because it takes me back to our original. It always takes me back to our original draft pod party that if you were there, you were there. The true go long people that were there. Times are different than a couple years ago, but anyway, right. Point being is
did not make its way to the podcast feed, as no, we said, it could not make its way to public consumption. But those that were on the call remember it well.
But Fatty Beer will play a part in some conversations that can go different ways. Put it down.
100%. So yes, we will do this. I'll bring some blood and guts if you want to grab a Bible for this crazy sport to serve you well through this off season. It's always available. And maybe some go-along hoodies as well. So that will be a lot of fun at Fatty. There's a lot of locations, but you know, I know Hamburg is typically our go-to, Orchard Park as well. We'll figure out the details as we close in. Whew. All right. I feel like, you know, this is what the NFL wants. Here we are in the middle of March Madness. College basketball should own the month. They don't even own a day, I feel like. It's NFL. One way or another, we're thinking about it. We're writing about it. We're complaining about it today with the hip drop tackle. I'm sure listeners know where I stand on this absolute bureaucratic nonsense. You know, just make that gray area a little wider, right? Add a little more confusion, some more vague language, you know, leave things up for interpretation. It's no different than all of us in our everyday life trying to follow the rules. As we drive down the street or pay our taxes or do this, do that, it's like the NFL just passing a bill and sneaking in some language that will give them more power, basically, right? Because the if somebody just dropped in from Mars and watched a football game and saw the hip drop tackle, which, you know, NFL always gets funny with language. I feel like this term was kind of pushed out as common vernacular fairly recently. I don't know if they were talking about the old hip drop. You probably know better than me. Have they, Jim? Okay, it feels newish. Okay, I'll continue my rant. Enters the lexicon. People are thinking about it, talking about it, floated by national reporters, and then here we are, competition committee, a vote, it passes, and if you're a defensive player and you're trailing an offensive ball carrier, you're not allowed to wrap your arms around him and pull him down, is basically what it is. So I don't know what in the hell you're supposed to do in that situation. In their infinite wisdom, I believe the NFL, you know, puts out a video and says, well, it only happened X amount of times. Well, okay. But you're putting doubt and hesitation into the brains of defensive players. That's the intended effect. Inch by inch, football transforms into something it never was intended to be. The NFL is on a conquest for a middle ground, a utopian middle ground that doesn't exist. I've been saying it 4 years now. It's a violent game. There's risk involved. When you put on the helmet and the pads, you accept that risk. So do we want to continue the lie and tell everybody it's safe? It's not safe. Okay, football's not safe at all. But guess what? That's okay. All right? It's for some people and it's not for other people. If you don't like it, there's soccer. There's basketball. There's other great sports out there. It's not knocking the other sports. I played them all, loved them all. Football has always been different. It's always been for a different breed of competitor. It's what makes it special. It's why we tune in. A very small change like this may not seem like anything. You know, before we hit record, Jim, I don't want to put words in your mouth quite yet, but you're like, you know what? Let's just move along. I can't just move along. I don't think we should just move along. We should call this out for what it is. It's almost like, you know, it's a unanimous vote, right? So it's almost like in politics when Democrats and Republicans agree on something and it's passed, like that should just like at this point ring the alarm bells, red flags. Like something's up here. Both sides just want more power here, and the people are going to get left in the dust some way, somehow. Look at the bill. Look at the language. All of that. All right. Got to be careful going down those roads. I know. I know. It's a football podcast. But that's what this is, right? It's just making government bigger and more confusing, and I don't like it, Jim. It smells fishy. It smells disgusting.
It's the nightmare that I'm picturing from this. And to your point, when I say move on, we're not going to stop it. That's what I mean by it. Do I agree? No. I don't know how you play defense. It must be challenging. I can't imagine, because this is going to cause, this is where I'm going with this. Just please, we cannot be reviewing. And if this changes games, it's going to be a real issue, because then it's going to get to that point where they're going to have to review. And now the thing I hate about college basketball right now, as much as I love the tournament, the reviews are just painful in college basketball. I mean, it's become out of control. And in football, I mean, I've said it before, either just review everything or not, because at some point it's just, these judgment calls are changing games. And this is going to be like the horse collar, right? It's treated like the horse collar. That's how I look at it. Which, good rule, fair rule. I'm not really disagreeing with this rule as far as, yes, I think there's ways to tackle people. Probably, I guess. Look, you're talking about the best athletes in the world, and you're trying to tackle the fastest, quickest guys that you're ever going to see. And to make that even harder, that's hard for me to sit there and say that's fair to anybody. But right, bottom line is, yeah. No, that's all I meant. I just don't want to see the flow of the game and game-changing plays because of this. It's just going to be that, – that makes it just – it leaves a stale taste, you know, when you have a game end because of that type of call.
The league is trying to have it both ways then, right? Because why continue the lie? Like, if you don't want – tackling and contact, remove it from the game. Just straight up make it illegal to tackle anybody. Put the flags in and get it over with. But they won't do that because nobody will watch. I mean, they'll watch, but it ain't going to be football. It'll be something else. It'll be what you see at the Pro Bowl. It'll be what you see at the NBA All-Star game. It'll be guys just running up and down and do whatever the hell they want. You need resistance. Like, you need a challenge. And in football, it's the ultimate version of that. You have collisions. Like, we gave the NFL, when the league got into the postseason, you saw less roughing the passer penalties. Refs were swallowing their whistles and letting these teams play. There's some bad calls here and there, of course, but it wasn't what we saw during the regular season. So we've seen it. Like, we know that it can't exist. Like, I'm not sitting here saying that the league is dead, football's dead, let's all panic and find new professions by any means. But just, God, rules like this just piss me off because it's so unnecessary. It really is unnecessary. It's just, and a lot of it is for propaganda's sake, I think. It's to project that we are making the game safer, right? Because everybody can get on board with that. All the owners can. All the commissioner, all the suits on Park Avenue, everybody can get on hand with the pamphlet that says, oh, here are bullet points, all the ways we're making football safer. So, Mom, as Chad Brown told us on a podcast earlier this past year, like, longtime NFL vet, it's all about little Timmy. trying to convince mom that little Timmy can play football. And this is another little notch on the belt that the league can point to. Hey, there it is, making it safer. Does it really make it substantially safer? I mean, look at this past year, all the quarterbacks that got hurt. With all the rules and all the protections and wrapping these guys and, you know, putting them in a bubble in every possible way, they still got hurt. You still have concussions. We're either going to accept that or not, as far as I'm concerned. You know what was so, when you really think about it, and I know the exhibition season, it stinks in general. Like, if you want to make it, just get rid of these games then, if you really do care about safety, but they have them. Was it the Packers Patriots preseason game last year, Jim, when somebody got seriously hurt, taken away on a stretcher? We've seen it often in football. It's always a grisly scene. Not saying that's a good thing. Not sure how you eliminate it if football is football, but they just ended the game. It was like, okay, this really bad injury happened, and they just ended the preseason game. I think we're going to see more stuff like that too. The league is going to try to navigate through its own violence with swimmies on, apparently. And I don't know. I don't know how you do it.
So at the end of the day, they want points. We know they want points scored. Points were down just a little bit this year. Not much. I saw this stat. It's incredible. They want to shoot for like 44 is their ideal number. It was at like 42 points a game this year. Not a big deal when you think about 2 points, but it is, because you want that. You just want it. They just don't want the star players hurt. That crushes the game, as we know. The backup quarterbacks, and we're going to get into the backup quarterbacks here soon, because of injuries, played a lot this year and made for some pretty unwatchable football. Because when you can't protect backup quarterbacks, it's hard enough to protect starters right now in the NFL. And the game has changed so much because there is no protection. It's 5 guys protecting at this point. Everybody else is running routes. That's not, you know, we didn't grow up that way with the game. But this is now what's happened is they've made rules because we're trying to protect the quarterback, to keep the quarterback healthy. Because everybody has changed to just throw the ball all the time because the rules have been set up to throw. It's maddening. What do you want? Do you want points? Great. Then let these guys play. Just let them play. You can't protect everybody. I'm with you on this. Like, I am with you. But at this point, you've put all these rules in. You're going to have to keep adding because they're going to say, well, that's not... Because of the horse collar, they're saying if they're going to compare the hip drop to the horse collar, that's a fair comparison. It is. There are there ways to get guys down? Better ways? Yes. I don't know how else to say it. It's a fair comparison. So yeah, if they want to put that in, I get it. I hate it. It's going to change games.
Yeah, the end justifies the means for the NFL. They'll do whatever they can to make sure that it's not a Mitch Trubisky versus Sean Clifford Super Bowl, right? Like they don't, like, that's the biggest stage. Everybody's watching that game. They want the stars in that game. But I don't think that there is a direct connection between their action and preserving that. Like, 2 years ago, Patrick Mahomes is just absolutely sandwiched in a sea of Jacksonville Jaguar defenders, right? Like, he's hit high, hit low. I'm picturing, I don't think it was flagged. I mean, I don't know. That was like a legal collision. If it's football, that stuff's going to happen. And just because he's Patrick Mahomes and he's a freak of nature and he's the best player in the galaxy, he plays on a high ankle sprain. Then he re-aggravates in the Super Bowl. He plays through it, but like, I don't know. Everything the league was trying to do, it didn't prevent that from happening. It's just part of the game. We can live with risk or not, you know? And I guess it's human nature. Some people, they want to feel safe and secure, and they want rules on rules on rules on rules on regulations, 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 and they probably love something like this. And they're buying into what the NFL's selling, saying it is going to make everything safe and cuddly. And there's people like myself, I guess, it just may sound a little abrasive, but just accept it for what it is.
What if I compared it for you, if you're being fair, like how cut blocks became illegal, and they should be. That's ridiculous, right? And it can end defenders' careers by going targeting knees.
It's a blindside, you don't see it coming play, right? To the knee. It seems different than this.
I don't know about chop blocks being blind. You can see guys coming at you. They're going and they can still
That's
chop
true.
you good.
Yeah.
And that's what I was going to compare it to, where that's a way where an offensive guy could take out a defender's legs and end their career. This is viewed maybe the same for an offensive player, where, hey, you tackle me like this, you're messing with my, that's a cheap way to tackle me that can ruin my career. That's how I'm looking at it.
How
I
is
don't know.
somebody in that position supposed to tackle? Like, seriously.
No, I'm with you on this. I don't know at
Yeah.
this point. That's what we said. I don't know how you play defense. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I don't know how you play defense.
Right.
I really don't. And it's going to lead to more as we talk, but just like you've been saying, load up on offense anyway. Yeah. I mean, I've been
Yeah.
such a believer, and my whole philosophy has always been get your quarterback and build your defense. That's how I would build a team if I was a GM. I may have to rethink that. Maybe it's impossible to play defense. I don't know. I'm not going to rethink that. But I'm just saying, you would have to at least, talk about it at this point. What are the realistic expectations for you as a defense right now, point wise? That's what you're going to have to think about. Because I mean, we're going to get into this, but these AFC quarterbacks, there aren't. We always talk about the AFC because it's just so loaded. But I mean, where's your week off in the AFC for a defense, where this is our week where maybe I mean, it's like, remember in Joe Dumars, well, we're dating ourselves in NBA when I bring up Joe Dumars against Jordan. But, Dumars, I love the Pistons growing up. But I mean, he would get credit for holding Jordan to 35. We might be heading that way.
Well,
I
it's
mean, you
about
you hold the
turnovers.
Chiefs to yeah, you hold the Chiefs to 34 and Mahomes to 380 and three touchdowns. Hey, good job, man. I don't know.
It's just about stealing possessions.
Yeah, right. Well, I always said that. It's like tennis. Who's gonna break serve? Mahomes versus Josh Allen. Who's gonna have that crazy, just a crazy shotgun snap on a third down that forced a punt, That's a bro. You just broke serve. Now the Chiefs better score on that. You just got your big, and then you go up. It is like that because you don't feel like you're going to stop anybody.
Totally.
I think it is the perfect comparison.
Which is why I kind of like the Spagnuolo approach, being aggressive, you know?
Why not?
Why not?
Because it's your only way. It's your only way.
Yeah. All right, enough of that because it's just depressing to talk about. Let's actually get to some I guess the story today is JJ McCarthy. The hype machine is it's running and gunning here. It's a silly season. You know, I think execs and scouts are going to put out, and this is what we should really ask you, Jim, on if you did this yourself or if you knew others in the NFL who did something like this. But Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, reported today that, quote, when I've had conversations at the NFL annual meeting down there in Orlando with executives from other teams who know Adam Peters, he's the Commanders GM, and they know the situation well, the most popular answer for what they do at number two is JJ McCarthy. Michigan's JJ McCarthy, apparently in consideration, serious consideration for the Washington Commanders, number two overall. You've been studying these quarterbacks. Bob McGinn's draft series will be starting up here in a couple weeks. He's talking to these execs around the NFL. When you hear something like that, Jim, is it completely invented and nudged into the ether? to throw teams off. I don't know why, what the purpose would be there. Or is JJ McCarthy a legitimate number two overall pick for the Commanders?
So yes, this time of year is, I love when there's breaking news that a potential top five quarterback may go number two now instead of number five. It's great. So basically, you hear, see what I'm saying? It's almost like I take it back to that year when we drafted Sammy Watkins, where we clearly, you know, we thought Sammy was the best in that draft receiver wise. It's a historic draft, turns out, where we took Sammy and we were celebrating. Other teams were like, great, you just pushed, you know, Odell to us, or who, you know, basically that, see what I'm saying? So that's how this draft to me is viewed. I think these quarterbacks all have a chance. No, I personally would take Daniels from LSU at number two. I've said that before. I think he is, I would love to see him. I think he's ready to go right now. Does Ken McCarthy go number two? Sure. Love his talent. Love everything about watching him. But he's the guy I just don't think's ready to throw in there right now. I just see more. You see where, not that he needs, I hate the whole that he doesn't have the pass attempts. That's ridiculous. He has everything you want in the quarterback. You see it all on tape. You see all the crazy grown man throws he makes. The athleticism is good, not special, but good. I don't know what else you'd want to work with, but you do see the lack of how many times has he had to just put up that 400-yard game, because they're out. I mean, you're going to have to do that now. You need to be in shootouts. And always, Tyler, I know I brought it up a long time ago on a pod when we, because I talked about these guys for a while, but the Bowling Green game is amazing, how bad he was in that game. But anyway, everybody has a bad
How
game.
Bad was it?
It was just, I describe it as, it's just like the NCAA tournament in basketball right now. It's straight Michigan Bowling Green. There's no game plan involved. It's preseason, NFL preseason game, promise you. We're not game plan for Bowling Green. We're running our plays. We're not real worried about what package they run on their third down defense. We're not, you see what I'm saying? I have love in your face right now. You're looking it up. But the throws were just, it was straight. I'm hanging out on, look, this is our off. We're going to win this game. That's what happens sometimes. You can start out rough. And he did. And he came, I forget what the final was, but
31-6, Michigan won. And JJ McCarthy was 8 of 13 for 143, 2 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions.
It was crazy. Like, it didn't make sense. So,
you know, I don't know. As a casual college football consumer, like, just tuning in when you can on Saturdays, usually that's a good family day to sneak in right when you're covering the NFL. Mm-hmm. But Michigan was on TV a lot. I just remember watching those games thinking, oh, that's a nice college quarterback. Like, that's a nice, you know, running the Jim Harbaugh offense, handing it off, doing what he's told, winning games, nothing special, nothing physically, athletically elite. Chris Winkie, Ken Dorsey, you know, find your highly decorated college quarterback and throw him in that bucket. I mean, that's what popped in my head, first impression. I mean, nothing really stands out. But what you hear is, he's perfect for, you know, a Shanahan offense or like a Kevin O'Connell, McVay. I mean, maybe if he gets to Minnesota, it's a great fit. But you can say that about any quarterback.
So for your impression of him as being maybe just a part of the Michigan, you know, system, maybe that's how you, Tyler, I wasn't expecting what I saw when I watched him. And you remember how I grade these guys. You get points for grown man throws and it's based on percentage. And his percentage was right there with Drake May for grown man plays for me. So that's how I know there was some, that's how I knew there was something there. That just tells you there's plenty to work with. That's all that tells you. It doesn't mean he's going to make it, because we know there's so much more to where they go. But here's my last thing I want to say that I was laughing about, how you said he fits Shanahan's system or the O'Connell. Like, so that's the new thing, right? Quarterbacks fit a certain coach's system. Great quarterbacks fit. Ask any coach. they just want a great quarterback. They'll make, you know, it's not about, they'll be fine. Like, it's not,
he's white, there's no Chip. Way. He's white. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll just say, like, it'd be like somebody saying, yeah, I just, Mahomes doesn't really fit my style.
Yeah, it is. It's that time of year when we all have a lot of time on our hands.
So would it shock? That would be the draft, like, all time. That would be an all time shocker, right? The way it's been pretty much laid out, that Daniels looks like two.
I don't know. I feel like last year Will Levis was discussed,
you know, that's
a
what I was
lot
just
as
say.
The draft got closer, right? There were reputable people saying that he was in consideration for the Indianapolis Colts at four. And guess what? He fell to the second round. I'm not saying J.J. McCarthy's fallen to the second round, but I have a really hard time thinking that Washington is going to pass up Jane Daniels. I just cannot see it. He's too talented.
Either. No, I'm with you. I don't want to go. I feel like we just entered the mock draft vortex.
We're guessing. I know.
I'm stepping out, Tyler. I am pulling.
Jim's eyes are red. He looks like hell.
I'm stepping back. I'm done. I'm getting out of this mock draft vortex. I don't know what the hell the Commanders are going to do. Personally, I would take Daniels. Could they take McCarthy? Yes, he is talented enough. I'll leave it at that. Because I just felt like we were going to start going. But if they take him, what if they take?
We have become what we despise. All if people are watching, all of a sudden, like, Jim's complexion, it went from feeling good at 7:47 p.m. on a Monday night to it looked like you just did a 3-day bender in New Orleans for a bachelor party. You looked weathered, beaten, fatigued at the thought of a mock draft.
Well,
you okay
you
now?
Now
you're coming back to us?
Oh, that you just, I feel so much. I literally felt like I was getting sucked into like a Kuiper. I was picturing an old Kuiper and McShay argument that just meant no sense because they were guessing. We were almost going. We just avoided a car accident. Like, it was, whew.
The ultimate grift. Hey,
man,
good money if you can make it, right? Cranking out seven round mocks.
Okay,
don't you love those bull team mocks?
That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not doing it. Okay. Yeah, I don't know how anybody does it. I don't know how anybody looks at it.
I think I would much rather just walk down the middle of Boston State Road than spend a half hour analyzing a 7-round mock for any team. Right? At least you're getting a little exercise and, you know, you're darting traffic. It's a little more entertaining than the 7-round mock.
In scouting, we love the 7th round. Like, it is, as an area scout or director of personnel, you are in it. Like, it is fun. It's because you're getting ready for signing guys after the draft. But
I'm just saying, in 7th, the media, to somehow project
that's
who
what
the 200th pick is.
That's exactly what I was going to say. For us, it's fun. I have no idea how anybody is even paying attention to the 7th round. Like, it doesn't even – it's crazy.
Yeah, right, we got to stop. I mean, look, J.J. McCarthy threw 8 passes against Penn State in a 24-15 win. So, you know what? Lock him in. I'm sorry, Jim. I can't see.
It's fair.
I could be dead wrong. That's why he's so polarizing, though, isn't it? Because you can watch Michigan games. You can watch all of the YouTube highlights that you want. Stare at all the box scores you want and come away with two completely different opinions. You could, where somebody might see a 6'3 quarterback who has every tangible trait you could want at the position, let alone the intangibles, winning as much as he did. I have a hard time getting past the fact that Michigan just ran the ball all the time. And he was along for the ride in a lot of these wins. Wasn't the difference, the playmaker lifting up those around him?
I mean,
that's just a little harsh, but I mean, when Harbaugh's gushing So
at
you
every
think he.
turn, I feel like he's, you know, he's doing a favor to him. What's he gonna say? Oh yeah, we didn't really need JJ. We had the best running game. He was okay, but
No, there's talent. But to your point, if you're picking a trying to pick a player who is going to be overdrafted that may not live up to the expectation, is basically what you're saying. That would be your bet on, you're not sold on McCarthy based on his resume, is
unless
how
he
I
goes to
read it.
Minnesota.
Because then he gets the right system.
Right, or Dable with the Giants. Right. That's let's stop while we're ahead. Any
Wait, can I give
other
mine? Oh, go ahead.
yeah, go ahead.
So we were talking about backup injuries to players and quarterbacks, and we're going to hit on this on a little thing I'm writing for Go Long this week. But something I dug up that I think is interesting on how we talk about these five quarterbacks, well, four quarterbacks, however you want to talk about them. I just feel like there's this class, I just feel like it's five players worthy of drafting high to be your starter. Like, I think I haven't had, I personally, since I've been in this, haven't scouted a class where I've had five where, yeah, I would take him. And yes, I would take a chance on him. Yes, I would take him. Most of the time, to your point, you're saying, I'm a little shaky on him, a little shaky on him. Not for me in this one. Go ahead and have fun. But as we talk about how important it is to find your franchise starting quarterback, we know about all the misses. So today, I for some reason, as I was looking at thinking about all the backup quarterbacks right now in the NFL, I counted eight former first round picks right now that will be your opening day backup quarterbacks that were drafted in the first round. Here, hold on, I can go through it quick. But off
Let's
the
hear it.
top, would you, what do you react to that number, eight? Do you feel like that's, yeah.
It's amazing, and it just goes to show that when these teams take these quarterbacks in the first round and they stand at the podium and it's a big celebration and they've got a plan and they're praising that quarterback up and down, there's a very good chance that in a few years it's going to end poorly. And he's playing for a different team and he's holding the clipboard. And for all the hype, the weeks and months, the entire year of draft hype. For who, for what? But yes, let's hear the list.
So we have your Mariotas, we have your Sam Darnold, we have your, I'm going through it here, hold on. Kenny Pickett, brand new to backup Fantasy Island. We have Mac Jones, we have Joe Flacco, a former first rounder who will be backing up in Indy. Justin Fields is now onto the fantasy first round backup island. Jameis Winston, a steady member on the island with his roommate from the combine, possibly Mariota. Those two have lived on backup island. The first, I mean, they've been on fantasy island forever. I think that was, oh, and our favorite, a guy who I thought would be a starter, Mitch Trubisky. That should
There
be
it
eight,
is.
unless I miss somebody, but okay. Anyway, well, so I guess point is to you, and what how you were just talking about, and we've talked about it so much. Systems matter, you know, coaches matter, support system matters, structure matters of the organization. What are they heading into? Who's heading into a shit show, quite frankly, and who's not?
Totally. That I think
Mean,
that's
we.
where this draft is fascinating, though. There are some situations that could be really good,
Okay.
and there's a couple that could be terrible.
Let me give you one. The Patriots, we're given, I don't feel like we're given that. We're getting that little pass. A brand new head coach. We know nothing about him as a head coach. Who's in place if they're going to draft a quarterback? What is their structure right now to groom whoever they're going to draft? That's a huge unknown, is the Patriots, where you feel steady with, you don't even feel good about Chicago. Are they ready to develop Caleb Williams to his potential? I mean, we could start right there. But yeah, the Patriots, I'm just not, there's a lot of unknown.
So it looks like they really want to start Jacoby Brissett this year. You would think.
They bring him in.
He
has started
long time
many
member
games.
On fantasy quarterback.
Oh, he is. He is a staple. I'm just pulling up his.
Want to hear a good Jacoby Brissett scouting story this time of year?
48 starts for his career. 18 and 30.
And he is probably everything you want in a number two. Would you agree, Brissett?
Yeah.
So this time there was a. This is. It just took me back, but there was a kid in Germany, who came over here and timed well. Trying to remember, I can't remember his name, but he was working out down at Florida Atlantic. He was going to run again, so I went down there. Brissett was throwing to him because Brissett was working out down there. And Parcells was there. Bill Parcells was at this thing because he was living down there and he knew about, he liked Brissett. So he had pumped Brissett to some people. So they were coming out to watch him. I knew about Brissett, but I was there to see, you know, the receiver who the Vikings actually drafted him. I think in the sixth round, you know, they took a shot on him. Right. They've been like, yeah, we'll look it up. I have to look it up. I'm sorry. It just took me back on that one. But anyway, point being, Brissett that day, he had a hunger and a drive. Like his character was everything you could see him being great in the, everybody's talking about the quarterback room now. I love how everybody's like, that room is strong. But Brissett is good in a quarterback room because he is like, I'm laughing because everybody's talking about that Steeler quarterback room.
Oh,
I'm
thinking, yeah, that room.
Yeah, it got better resume wise on talent. I don't know if that room got better. I don't know if Russell Wilson and Justin Fields are trying to hang out, and there's a lot of personalities going on right there. Anyway, but Brissett was built to be, come in and learn everything, be tough, come in, be 500 as a backup.
I love that expression. You sent me the clip last week, Joe Flacco at his press conference.
Yeah.
Right. When he's like, it wasn't my job to like help the starter. Like, I love, Sweet. He's at a point of his career. He doesn't give a shit. Like, he's just going to say what's on his mind. Be honest. What a Super Bowl. He's just on the couch. Like, might as well just explain how this all really works.
We signed in Buffalo. We had signed Chris Williams, an offensive tackle. We made him a guard from Vanderbilt, free agent. We signed him as a free agent. And then in that draft class that year, we drafted Chantrell Henderson from Miami. And I can remember we were talking to Chris Williams, just basically just saying, hey, here comes a young, his history was just, just not mature, just all the stuff that Chris Williams was, Chris Williams was always professional. And we were just saying, hey, man, anything you can do as far as, just showing him how to be professional. And I can remember he literally had that blank stare when somebody is really not paying attention to you. Like, I don't give a shit what you're saying about this guy you drafted. He didn't give a shit. When Flacco, Tyler, these guys are trying to
help the backup so he takes your job.
He takes your job. Like, it does not exist. It doesn't mean that Josh Allen and Trubisky don't have a great relationship. That doesn't mean that
those exist. That's true.
They do exist. They do.
Because, it's not like Trubisky is going to be taking Josh Allen's job.
No question. So. Chase Daniel, I saw it in New Orleans with Chase Daniel and Drew Brees. It was perfect. They always said, and I see Chase Daniel, man, Tyler, that'd be a guy that'd be cool to try to get him on the show. Because I like what he's been doing with quarterbacks. And I always heard, I'd like to ask him, or I'd like to tell him this. It was a rumor going around in our New Orleans, in our scouting room, that we heard that he was technically smarter than Brees when it came to knowing the offense. So I'd like to ask him.
Wow.
But anyway, point being is those, yes, you can have a true, really true, perfect professional backup quarterback.
And it can be toxic. I'll have a story later this offseason on a team and a quarterback situation, and it'll take folks through time a little bit. Don't want to get too detailed quite yet. Still reporting on this, but it's a quarterback room that had two veterans and a young guy, and it was not good. I mean, these quarterbacks, They didn't talk to each other. They didn't look at each other. It was about as bad as you can. And you're around each other all the time. I mean, you're seeing your quarterback teammate more than you're seeing your spouse through a football season, basically.
Did you hear what Johnny Manziel said about Brian Hoyer when he was in Cleveland? He said it was a, he said Hoyer wasn't he wasn't trying to help him. He came right out and said it. And Hoyer came out and said, "Yeah, I had nothing
Good for
against
him.
Manziel."
Yeah.
Yeah, Hoyer said I had nothing against him, but he was looking at that as, "No, I can beat this guy out. Like I can go get paid like a starter again." Like whatever he was, that's the professional mindset those guys have. Sometimes you haven't been challenged like that in college, where you've been against people fighting for their families and jobs and paychecks.
Huge difference. Great point,
Huge
Jim.
difference.
Yeah.
Huge. And when I saw that, when I thought about Chantrell Henderson, immature college kid, and there's Chris Williams, married kids, but you know, just figure it
I remember
out,
everybody
you know.
losing their minds when like Brett Favre said it's not his job to mentor Aaron Rodgers. Ben
No.
Roethlisberger said something similar.
No.
These guys that have won so much. I mean, Aaron Rodgers wasn't thrilled when the Packers drafted Jordan Love, but there is a benefit for that young quarterback if he's wired the right way to just study Favre, study Rodgers, grow, learn, get better. I mean, they don't have to hold your hand and take you through a film session, like just watch them. And both did. Both backups did. Now on the Patriots though. So yes, it's a strange team. They tried to get Calvin Ridley and they failed. They settled for KJ Osborne. Enjoyed talking to him last offseason for a feature. But probably not ideal as your best weapon offensively. And he is. You've got Kendrick Bourne, Demario Douglas, Jalen Reagor, Tyquan Thornton, Juju Smith-Schuster, Hunter Henry, Austin Hooper. These are
Oof.
the weapons for a potential, well, I guess Jacoby Brissett will start, but a Drake May or a JJ McCarthy. Or Elliott Wolf trades down, sells the pick, takes whatever he can. This is a team that isn't going to win anytime soon. So what would
But
you do if you're running the Patriots,
Ty
Jim?
Hall. Oh, so are, if Caleb Williams and Daniels are off
Williams
the board?
Daniels. Yep.
Oh, then I'm going McCarthy. Yeah, he'd be my third. And I'll let Brissett start this year. Yep.
You would take JJ McCarthy over your guy,
Drake
Bo
May. I would take
Nix?
him over May. I would take him over May. Just, but look, I'm
You
not
got
going to sit
May.
there and say May. May for me is the. I do see the crazy ability. There's just a lot of inconsistent throws with him that I don't think he's as polished. I don't think he's as like get like he is. He's gifted. It's I'm trying to, he's not as they try to make him, I hate to say it, I feel like they try to make him to be like Mahomes, and I don't like that. Where they're giving I feel like they're giving him excuses for he didn't have a good team around him this year, and that's why he I hate when I hear that. I don't want to hear anything. Patrick Mahomes didn't have a good team around him, and he didn't care. He balled out every week at Texas Tech. I'm not talking about wins and losses. I don't worry about that. I worry about just the all out. And I just felt like he missed a lot of throws, especially to that receiver Walker. When I studied Walker's all targets, that's when I was like, man, May's missing more open touchdowns than I'd like to see. But yeah, once again, Tyler, he's going to blow you away with his size and arm strength, and he can make those, you know, off platform throws that we all love seeing. I mean, I'm just starting to think all these quarterbacks can do it. McCarthy, that throw against Alabama is insane that McCarthy made. People don't talk about it enough to be able to make that throw. But yeah, I would take, if I was the Patriots, I would take McCarthy. And I, like I said, that's me trusting my offensive, you know, hey, we're in this together. We're, this is going to be our guy. He's going to sit this year. Brissett's playing.
I think it was
Or
a
May. Or May, because he could sit too.
character flaw for Drake May to sit out the Duke's Mayo Bowl. I love Duke's Mayo. I don't know why you would avoid Duke's Mayo. You probably could have played in that game, and maybe he still got all the Duke's Mayo he wanted. Have you ever had Duke's Mayo? under
Oh
sandwiches?
yeah. I'm not a
The
huge
best.
mayo guy. I'm not a huge mayo guy, but if you're looking for, I think that is the best.
And
I
his
would agree
numbers
with
went
you.
down across the board last year. You're right. He threw the ball a little less, but his
But
completion
I mean,
percentage
it's
went down a
not a
couple
huge,
points.
yeah, it's not a huge deal. It's just, I saw more misses for, I thought he had more opportunities to have better stats, basically. I thought he left a lot of stats out there. I would put it that way. Where McCarthy just didn't have as many opportunities, but I thought he made the most of his opportunities, and I think there's more to come.
JJ McCarthy a better prospect than Mac Jones?
Yes, you can look up. I was not a Mac Jones first round guy.
How so? What makes him better
I
than
thought
Mac
he was
Jones?
backup all the way. I thought he was what I didn't see the athleticism. I didn't see the playmaking ability. I thought the arm was okay. I didn't have any problems with the physical arm strength. I didn't think he was special to make those tough throws in the pocket and get out of trouble and make a play. And I don't know how you can be a franchise guy and not get out of trouble.
And JJ McCarthy can make those plays that
Yes.
Mac Jones could not.
Oh, yeah, for
I love the
sure.
comparison because Mac's numbers, right? Through the roof, Alabama, all
Yeah.
those receivers, it's a track meet, clean pocket, lighten it up. Conversely, Michigan's running the ball, throwing eight times to beat Penn State.
Wait, come on.
But you've
Wait,
got to
check.
look for those moments. I mean, like you're looking for those specific big boy throw moments.
But he has them. He just didn't have a lot of opportunities against Penn State. That's all. Tyler, hold on. I'm looking up that receiver that the Vikings drafted that I saw. There he is. The 2016 draft, sixth round, Moritz Boeringer.
That's right.
Wide receiver, college. None. Brissett threw to him at his pro day. There you go.
Wow. Great pull. I definitely remember that. Great size from what I remember.
Oh
Big.
yeah. Oh, did you so do you remember that story? And he
Yeah.
did he was I would have oh I would definitely would have gone after him after the draft, tried to sign him. I didn't think he was worthy of it. I didn't think it was worth drafting. But you love guys like that. He was a high speed, take a chance on guy.
Yeah, looks like he had a cup of Joe with Cincinnati as well. All right. Well, you know what? If maybe it's time for old Moritz to get back into the league with the hip drop tackle now outlawed. I'm sure he could put up 10 catches for 100 yards, and if you're in need of a tight end, Boeringer's your guy. Fair to say?
I'm just, but can you imagine? There's going to be a play. It's going to be, this play is going to do something to a team. This hit, you know, it's going to, you're right. There's going to be, who's going to be the famous hip drop when it changed the, we would have won, you know, so and so, no, probably the Bills, right? Bills, Chiefs. Here it is. Bills, Chiefs, and AFC Championship next year. Your bet, you will bet on the Chiefs. I will bet on the Bills because that what's happened every single year. You will win, I will lose, but I will continue to bet on the Bills to beat them. And this year, the Bills will lose to the Chiefs. That's going to be my prediction when we do our go long. They were going to lose on a hip drop penalty on Diggs that would have won the game, and then it goes to overtime, and the Chiefs win.
There it is.
Okay, there's my summed up.
Well, I'm working on a Buffalo Bills piece as we speak, and I might need to amend it with the hip drop prognostication there, Jim. That's as foretold by the one and only Jim Onis. Now, I do think that the Buffalo Bills are enjoying a very productive March. Quietly inching in the right direction here. Definitely check out goalongtd.com for that later this week. Chatted with a handful of people around the NFL who are very wise, and yeah, I think there's actually a precedent out there for these Bills that makes a lot of sense. That's going to do it, unless you have any final thoughts, Jim.
No, that was good. I was trying to see there was a receiver that the Saints had at that pro day with the Boehringer and Brissett too. And I drew a blank on his name, and he blew it out. And the Saints signed him, and he ended up playing. He was the best player at that pro day, and I can't remember his name. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry, it's a good way to end it.
Pro days, that's right. Pro days right now too.
That's why I'm in pro day mode.
That's right. Better than mock draft mode. Stay in pro draft mode. Pro day mode.
Oh, I don't ever want to go back there.
All right. Thanks, everyone.